Hi there. Ty here. I just wanna. I've been having a lot of thoughts about projection, and I wanna share a little bit of what I've been thinking about. And a lot of this is definitely related to the themes of anger and internalized oppression and just kind of externalizing some of all the different isms and so I'm gonna share a little bit of what I learned, and I'm a somatic practitioner trained in a hands-on healing art, hands-on somatic art. And also currently in undergrad psychology school. And so I learned in psychology class about in-groups and out-groups and how it's a human it's like a human need to feel a sense of belonging, to feel like you have people who've got your back, to feel like you're not the only one who's gonna be all alone, surviving physically and emotionally and spiritually. I wanted to discuss how many times the in-group are people that we feel comfortable with, the people we identify with, like, oh yeah, that's me, you know, whatever identity, whatever bodily identity or any other identity it is. And I think that I was learning that the out-group is often the group that where we don't see as part of our identity, that we see as very separate from us. And this psychology study was that we often dehumanize the out-group just as a way of differentiating the out-group and the in-group. And I think if we think about all the different isms and the separation between different groups of people, that dehumanization can be very present, very visible. So another part of that, what I learned in that class was that basically, if people learned that, I learned that if people in the in-group had more interaction with people in the out-group, then there would be less of a dehumanization and more humanization. Then another thing that I learned was that people are often biased to look for information that only confirms their beliefs. And if they find information that goes against their beliefs, they often reject it. They often cut it off from their perception, their awareness. But if they were aware of this tendency of humans, then they would actually be more open to information outside of their confirmation bias, outside of what they said, oh, this is the only thing I believe in. So we're talking about a bit about that neuroplasticity, that ability to change the brain or change our wiring and come to different beliefs, interact with different people, not be as closed off. And I think all of this is very positive information, and another thing. So that is the first piece of information that I learned that I want to bring into this discussion. And then after that, I wanted to talk about projections. And specifically here, I want to talk about ageism because I'm 22. I entered the healing arts world when I was probably about 16, and I did a professional training when I was 18. Actually, I started when I was 17, and then I ended when I was ninth, when I was 20. So, Yeah, most of the people were older. There were some people that were in their 20s. They were still older than me. And a lot of my thoughts around this are from the anger that has arisen from, doing this very deep work around healing and trauma and generational and ancestral, and committing so much of my time and energy to it, and yet being misunderstood or just kind of belittled by people who just only met me because they can see that I look younger. And a lot of people say I look very young in person. And I'm 22 now. I turned 22 maybe a week ago. And my thoughts around projection are going to be very much based in this ageism that I've experienced. And whatever you want to call it, ageism or just judging someone by their age, the idea of projection, I think, is a lot of my anger is triggered when people are like surprised at my age or don't take me as seriously because of my age. But in that anger, there feels like there's a lot of heat in my body. And when I talk about anger, I think about Llama Rod Owens with his work around love and rage. And I think within that heat that's generated in my body, this life force, this extra energy, I have been thinking of how, yes, it's a projection. Yes, their projection is theirs, but that energy is my own, that fire, it's my own life force. And a lot of the times I think that people make that projection. People say, "Oh, you look so young, you couldn't be doing this seriously. I would have never done this at your age." They're thinking about their own lives. They're thinking that's their own stuff towards me. And I take it so personally. I'm like, and a lot of my thoughts around projection are that so much of that is the person's own story. They're feeling triggered within themselves, and they're so triggered that they don't realize that they triggered you, or they can't see outside of that box. So they're like, "Wow, you're shockingly young. I only came to this work when I was 40." And then maybe they feel triggered with a sense of loss, a sense of regret, a sense of wishing they came to the work earlier, a sense of wishing their life was different. And all of that isn't about me. It isn't about my being, internal being. It's about their deep wishes, their deep longing, and how that connects to the conditions of life, the conditions of age and time, which just has a lot of energy wrapped up in it. There's whole industries dedicated to making people wish that they were younger, making people feel less for being older. And so a lot of that, it's not mine either, that societal stuff, it's not mine. A lot of it, and yet I feel triggered, I feel the fire inside of me. And I think a lot of that fire is my own stuff. I want to be taken seriously. I commit. I want to be seen. I want to be witnessed. I want to be heard in a real way, in a way that isn't superficial, or I've spent a lot of time being misunderstood, so I'm triggered around that, and that is my stuff. And I think that clash of anger is just something a lot of us might experience around different isms or different parts of our lives. And those isms, maybe if we just, take them to that level, This is a projection. This is their stuff. This is my stuff. When they come, when somebody puts their stuff on you, they're not putting it on you. They're just putting it outward. And in that sense, people who discriminate, people who see you as the out-group, people who act racist or sexist or ableist or ageist or genderist, those people, they're not seeing you. They're not putting their anger on you, like your stories. They're putting their own stories out there. And you are out there for them. You are a phenomenon that they are not connecting to your stories, your inner world, your journey, your lineage. And I think a lot of this has helped me because it's about taking things less personally, but not necessarily that. Accepting that reaction, accepting that anger, because a lot of that fire that comes up then makes me, sometimes it can be easy to shut down, like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be taken seriously. I'm always going to look with the baby face because whatever reason. And you know what? Sometimes I do feel like that, and that is very frustrating. But over time, I found that it can still be equally triggering. No matter my age, maybe it'll be like that when I'm 40, maybe when I'm 60. Wow, you're 60? You look so... I thought you were 40. That happens to my grandma. And I think that a lot of it is just accepting that people have their own movies. They are their own characters. They have different characters. They're part of their own stories. We have our own stories. Everyone has so many stories. Everyone has their own narratives. And it's realizing, okay, I'm triggered. I'm going to use that as fuel to this fire for my narrative. And my narrative is going from feeling very isolated and misunderstood to feeling understood. And my narrative also involves, being part of the healing arts is helping people. So within that anger, that fire, that life force, it's channeling into things that I'm passionate about, that I'm creative about, that aren't just about my stories, but that help create new stories, that help make new connections with people. And I believe that all of us have that fire within us that will connect, you know, creatively, passionately to something in the outside world, a hobby, other beings, other people, other non-human animals, plants, fungi, ancestors, beings, spirit beings, whatever you connect to. We're all born in relation to another being. We're all relational beings by nature. And I really deeply believe that that sense of relational connection, once we have that fire that fuels us to connect in a passionate way, in a real way, I believe that can connect us to... Yes, there's always, you know, maybe going to be these projections, these stories thrown around to different people, but I believe these real connections can actually, you know, have stories that connect, you know, so a story of, for example, a story of a healer, me, and a story of someone seeking healing. Those are stories that connect. They're stories that people are seeking that match. And there may still be some projections within that, but I think that connection is very possible. And that's what I have to say about projections. I hope that sparked some thoughts. And I'm going to leave off with Tibetan Buddhist Dharma about phenomena and the nature of phenomena. So, like, when you see, you're walking, imagine this, you're walking on the beach, you see the ocean. The ocean is dark, it's clear, it's beautiful and calm. You can feel the sand beneath your feet, it's grainy, it's a little bit cool, but not too cold. And the ocean is dark blue, almost dark black. You feel some breeze on your skin. Maybe you're walking with someone that you care about, the non-human animal you care about, or holding an object or a plant you like. You look up at the moon. The moon is full. It's bright. It's gleaming on the water, the reflection on the water. The moon's reflection on the water is not the moon itself, although by appearance it would seem to be that way. And Tibetan Buddhist teachings say that the nature of all phenomena is that of the reflection of the moon on the water. So the nature of phenomena is that it appears to be there, it appears to be real, to be existing. But it's only an appearance. If you touch the water, the reflection of the moon on the water, you won't be touching the moon. And so a lot of this teaching is just that our human consciousness, our human, we have our spinal cord and our brain and our senses, and when we touch something, it sends signals back to our brain to interpret what we touch. The temperature, the texture. The brain makes meaning out of it. Maybe remembers the texture, things stored in our memory, in our brain. But just because that exists doesn't really mean that it's everlasting or even something that isn't illusory. So what does this mean? In terms of anger, in terms of projection, when we're getting angry, when we feel someone looking at us and our bodies and our conditional forces, we have these conditional things about life, things that are changing, how we look, how we sound. These aren't things that are the same for even one whole lifetime. Conditional forces are things that are always changing, things that are just conditions of the moment. When we look at that, we can get closer in touch with what's unconditional, what's beyond that anger, what's beyond that projection. No, what's beyond that projection? When we meet our anger with a sense of that moon on the water. Yeah, this is anger. Yeah, I feel this real energy and this real fire within me. But is it really? See, this is where Tibetan Buddhist teachers just have exactly the words for it. You should definitely go check out Lama Radovan's. He can just, bam, half an hour, life changed. Go check out his course. When we see projections, someone says, you look so young, you're a woman, you're non-binary, you can't do that because of that, or you're black and that means you're not as good as me because I'm white. No. That is their story. That has nothing to do with the real nature of life. It has to do with the temporary, illusory phenomena. But what is unconditional can be touched by other people's projections. It exists there no matter what other people project onto you. It exists beyond just our human lifetime, this consciousness that goes on, whatever form it may go on to. This human lifetime and the phenomena we experience, the very real emotions and energy. Simply a condition of life, the stream of consciousness and awareness is unconditional. And I'll leave you with these thoughts that if you touch, when we touch into the body, not just that, when we touch into our awareness, our stream of consciousness, that's when it becomes easier over time, as Lama Radovan says, not overnight. It can take years and years, even for a teacher. But when we touch into that, it helps us meet our anger in a place of love. It helps us understand what is unconditional, what is everlasting, and what is simply an illusion of the moment, what is simply phenomena floating through a rock, floating through a river, but we are the riverbed. A lightning storm striking the river, yes, it may do damage. We are the riverbed still existing, our consciousness, not our human body necessarily. No, not our human body. Our awareness. And that awareness that transforms forms beyond the human body, plant, non-human animal, fungi, earth, ancestors, divine beings, whatever beings. And it's beautiful to be in tune with that awareness, isn't it? It just is the awareness. It is. And we can say other things are. They may seem like they are, and they may feel like they are, but they aren't necessarily are. They're not necessarily that isn't necessarily something that is, but this awareness is, and it will be, it will exist. In Tibetan Buddhism, till the end of samsara, till nirvana, if we learn about that, we can see that the unconditional always is, right along with the conditional. And that's what I'll leave you with. I hope that this was enlightening to you. And please check out Lama Rod Owens. He is an amazing Black queer Buddhist teacher. And I just love his teachings on love and rage and oppression and anger and justice and love and not already so love. So, thank you.